This is Latter-day Radio on KLO AM 1430.
Please pass the funeral potatoes.
Don't call them that. The kids won't eat them. Spencer, you can't have dessert until you finish your dinner.
Oh, Mom.
I'll get it.
Mom, it's the home teachers.
That's impossible. We don't have those anymore.
What do you see?
It sure looks like home teachers.
It's Brother Tanner and Brother Gerard.
I thought you weren't coming anymore.
You thought wrong.
Maybe you should call first for an appointment.
But we're here now. Would you please just let us in?
Ask them how long they're going to be.
About 3 hours.
Just once a month, right?
Every Friday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Can we come in?
Just let them in, Roy.
Maybe they brought zucchini bread. Let them in.
Ugh, Flip. Okay. So you're our new home teachers?
No, we don't have those anymore. We're radio personalities and Brother and Sister Nelson.
Yes?
You're on Latter-day Radio, and we'll be here every Friday. By way of introduction, I'm Martin Tanner.
And I'm Greg Gerard.
And yes, you're listening to Latter-day Radio.
Shall we tell them what it's all about?
I think the name says it all.
Not exactly. Just to be clear, this is news, feature, and talk about the issues facing Latter-day Saints, Mormons in other words. Every Friday, we'll address their concerns, whether it's Boy Scouts or boyfriends.
Food storage or food for thought. Advice from experts on everything from helping young people prepare for missions.
Or old people prepare for missions.
We hope we'll present information that will help you and your family, as President Nelson describes it, stay on the covenant path.
And for starters, here's a question. If you're close to 60 years old, do you remember where you were and what you were doing on June the 8th, 1978? I do. I was working on the seventh floor of the church office building in the church welfare department, writing training materials when I heard a big commotion outside. I stepped out of the office and noticed a lot of tears and sobs. It was pretty dramatic. I thought somebody had died, but they were tears of joy.
Of course, we're talking about the announcement from the first presidency at that time about the revelation on the priesthood. We're assembling some thoughts from members, friends, leaders about where they were and their reaction when they heard the momentous news that every worthy male member of the church may now receive the priesthood without regard to race or color. And then next week, we're going to discuss some historical background from the 19th century plus events leading up to the 1978 announcement.
By the way, LDS Living has an excellent article about that in a recent issue. And of course, tonight, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is holding a special event at the Conference Center, which will be live streamed and then available online afterwards. If you type in LDS.org and B1, your browser will take you to the church's site. We're looking forward to it.
And next week, we'll take our own in-depth look at what was once a controversial subject, and for many still is, in our second broadcast on Latter-day Radio. Be sure to join us. In the meantime, if you'd like to chime in, drop us a note via email. Go to www.latterdayradio.com. Scroll to the bottom and tell us what you think, especially if you'd like to share with us where you were, what you were doing when you heard that momentous news on June 8th, 1978. Today, in our initial broadcast, we want to explore an interesting subject that many members are talking about today, the geography of the Book of Mormon. Where did the events mentioned in the Book of Mormon actually take place? For years, most Book of Mormon experts and members, myself included, have held to the theory that Mesoamerica was the most logical site. But Greg and others have a different idea. Explain that for us, Greg.
A few years ago, my daughter Jenny bought a book by author Rod Meldrum that I at first dismissed until she urged me to take a closer look, and I did. Rod Meldrum and others, including Wayne May, a member in Wisconsin who publishes a magazine on ancient American archaeology, convinced me to take a closer look, which I've done. I've watched hours and hours of YouTube videos, and after reading Meldrum's book, I've taken a serious interest in it. Then in April, my wife and I spent a Saturday at a conference in Layton sponsored by Meldrum's Firm Foundation Expo. In fact, the next one is set for October in Sandy. You can read about it at the website at firmfoundationexpo.org. When I was there, I spoke with Rod and invited him to discuss his views here on Latter-day Radio.
And his views are?
Well, we'll allow him to present that himself momentarily. But let me just say that what compelled me to take his message seriously are three things. First, Rod tells people that he is a one-hill guy, namely that there always has been just one hill, Cumorah, the very same hill where Joseph received the plates from Moroni, the man who buried them there. Two, that Joseph and Oliver and other early church leaders either stated or implied that the areas in early church history, New York, Ohio, and the upper Midwest, were where the events in the Book of Mormon actually took place, that there never was a second hill Cumorah somewhere in the jungles of Guatemala or southern Mexico. And third, as Rod's ally, Wayne May, explains, this Heartland or Hopewell theory is supported by archaeological evidence that has either been ignored, plowed over, or dismissed over the years.
So let the discussion begin. Our first guest on the first day of our first broadcast is Rod Meldrum, originally from Cache County, but a resident of Provo, Utah. Welcome.